The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 22nd chapter. Then the Pharisees went and plotted how to entangle Jesus in his talk. And they sent their disciples to him, along with the Herodians, saying, "Teacher, we know that you are true and teach the way of God truthfully, and you do not care about anyone's opinion, for you are not swayed by appearances. Tell us then what you think. Is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not?" But Jesus, aware of their malice, said, "Why put me to the test, you hypocrites? Show me the coin for the tax." And they brought him a denarius. And Jesus said to them, "Whose likeness and inscription is this?" They said, "Caesar's." Then he said to them, "Therefore render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's." When they heard it, they marveled, and they left him and went away. This is the Gospel of our Lord. In the holy name of Jesus, amen. Render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. I'm sure we've heard this statement before, but what does it mean? Surely from Scripture and from the Gospel lesson, the context indicates taxes and money. Give your taxes, give your tithes. Not either or. God commands both. Because to give treasures to Caesar, but not God, breaks the first commandment. To give treasures to God, but not Caesar, is to disobey the fourth commandment and the first commandment. Where your treasures are, there your heart is also. But there are other things that you can render to Caesar, but not God. Like time. Have you been glued to your TV and talk radio like me the last few weeks? Giving hours of your time a day to breaking news stories instead of your God. Or how about devotion? Reading more news articles than reading, studying, and praying Scripture? Or what about fear? Hearing and reading things lately, it seems folks fear the future of America more than the judgment of God. What do we render to who? How do we distinguish between the reign of the earthly realm versus the heavenly realm? Jesus certainly knew the difference. In our gospel lesson, the deceitful Pharisees tried and trapped Jesus into saying something either against God or the government. They began by approaching Jesus in kindness. They tried to catch Jesus off guard by showering compliments to him like, "You are the teacher of truth, and you yield to nobody." Then they go in for the kill. So let us ask you a question. Is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not? This is the trap. If Jesus answers yes, then they can accuse him of blaspheming against God and not being a patriotic Jew. Because Caesar is who the Jews want to overthrow to establish their own kingdom. But if Jesus answers no, then they can accuse him of being an insurrectionist against Caesar and the Roman Empire, because he would then be teaching people not to pay their taxes. Either way of answering, Jesus would deserve death for punishment. But Jesus escapes their cleverly devised deceit. He escaped by saying, "Show me the coin for the tax." Bringing Jesus a denarius, he said, "Whose likeness and inscription is this?" It wasn't Jesus on the coin, nor was it a picture of the temple or the Torah. It was a picture of Caesar. And Jesus said, "Therefore render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's." And like that, Jesus escaped their snare. Here, Jesus teaches us the difference between governmental authority and spiritual authority. Paul speaks about the importance of governmental authorities in Romans chapter 13. He says, "Let every person be subject to the governing authorities. For there is no authority except from God. And those that exist have been instituted by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authorities resists what God has appointed. And those who resist will incur judgment. For he is God's servant for your God, for your good. But if you do wrong, be afraid. For he does not bear the sword in vain. For he is the servant of God, an avenger who carries out God's judgment on the wrongdoer. Pay to all what is owed to them. Taxes to whom taxes are owed. Revenue to whom revenue is owed. Respect to whom respect is owed. And honor to whom honor is owed. These are things which God commands us to render to Caesar. By doing so, we honor God." As Jesus recognized the difference between the kingdom of the world and the kingdom of God, so should we certainly serve both. But render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's. Render to God the things that are God's. Christians haven't always understood these two things correctly. But it's essential to understand the boundaries of both kingdoms so that authority from one kingdom doesn't spill into the other. Otherwise, you have either Christian persecution under the Roman Empire, or you have the theocracies of the Holy Roman Empire run by the Pope, who is really just an emperor with a religious title. So let's find the balance. What are some examples of things that belong in the boundaries of government? Any earthly thing that benefits us and our neighbor. God gives heavenly authority to earthly authorities to keep peace, order, and work out things to benefit people. An example of this is masks during a pandemic. Masks help protect the public and it doesn't violate the teachings of God, unless we allow it to. Taxes are another example. Our taxes to the government have the goal of helping our neighbor in need. General respect and honor for your governmental authorities is something good and godly, even if you don't like the person in office. Earthly kingdoms are to promote peace, justice, order, and the well-being of all people. Their authority deals with earthly things and earthly well-being, not the kingdom of God and its reign. On the other hand, we do have recent examples of the kingdom of Caesar overstepping the kingdom of God. For example, the kingdom of man attempts to redefine God's gift of holy marriage between a man and a woman. But God created man for sexual union with woman in marriage. That's what he teaches us countless times in Scripture. Also, God created genders, male and female, Well, the kingdom of man believes gender is created within oneself, according to what they feel. Some church denominations have bowed to the kingdom of man's teaching in regard to marriage and gender. Some have bowed to cultural norms of cohabitation and sex outside of marriage, even between a man and a woman, which is just as destructive to God's design for marriage. But the kingdom of man really oversteps its boundaries when attempts are made to block the public living of God's kingdom. Again, another example of the kingdom of man teaching contrary to the kingdom of God is when life begins. In Psalm 139:13, it says, "For you formed my inward parts, you knitted me together in my mother's womb." God makes and forms life in the womb. Yet the kingdom of man won't grant that person personhood, calling him names like an embryo or a clump of cells, instead of acknowledging the child to be the person God has created him to be. In these examples, the kingdom of man attempts to usurp God by redefining natural law, which belongs to the kingdom of God. These beliefs and teachings aren't things we should render obedience to Caesar, because they don't properly belong to Caesar. These teachings properly belong to God. But how should Christians respond? How do we respond to Caesar's kingdom when it oversteps the authority God has given to him? Take a cue from Martin Luther. He writes, "We should accord each one its honor and due, both being ordinances and works of God, and we should not consider it if, in both kingdoms, those to whom the office has been committed are not pious and misuse their office, particularly against Christians, and berate and persecute us as disobedient and seditious folk. This we should and must bear, though we reserve the right of rebuking them by word of mouth and telling them the truth and not letting the imputed guilt lie on us. When we have done this, we have finished our task and have discharged our responsibility. The rest, how and through whom God intends to punish them and avenge us, we commit to Him." In other words, bear their sufferings. Bear their guilt. Voice to them their wrongdoings. Voice to them their overstepping of their authority. Remove their imputed guilt from you. Doing so, God's law is spoken and judgment is His, not yours. You separated yourself from their sin, and yet you bear their sin, just as Christ our Lord bore your sin on the cross, winning a peace and a freedom which the kingdom of Caesar cannot give. Respond like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. In Daniel chapter 3, King Nebuchadnezzar forced everyone to bow down to a false god, a golden image, an idol of distraction from faith in God. But Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego didn't bow down. They refused, because the kingdom of Caesar didn't and can't usurp the kingdom of God. So, they were thrown into a fiery furnace. They were persecuted, but they didn't burn up. the angel of the Lord protected them from destruction. So does our Lord protect his children from eternal destruction. Render to God the things that belong to God. Your fear, your love, your trust, your affection, your devotion, your time, your worship, your study. He cares for you eternally. Confess and live in the kingdom of God, which is given to you here in word and sacrament, where Christ reigns to forgive all your sins. Render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and most importantly, render unto God the things that are God's. In the holy name of Jesus, amen.